Blog Talk Radio.
This world is all about branding and marketing. The number one branders in the universe is the United States. They made the United States seem like it's the best place in the world to be. It's the land of the free, home of the brave. I go there to find and chase my dreams. We have to be able to tell our own stories. Directors, filmmakers, entertainers, it's going to be clearly, and the press, it's going to be your job to redefine how people think about Africa. Because you're here. You see what's going on. You clearly can see in a vivid picture the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you choose to put out there is what the world is going to get. Because I can tell you right now, in Chicago alone, there's more people dying in Chicago than there was in the war in Iraq. But you would never see that. There's a lot of things that's happening in the U.S. that you would never see because they choose to show you what they want you to see for... Yeah. It's about country integrity. You have a certain reputation you have to keep. No one puts their family business out into the street. One of the problems we have in Africa is that when something happens, the press is quick to put out negative energy and quick to put out a negative story. And then that story goes on to internet, then other broadcasting systems take it, and they post it. So when you look at places like Kenya, for instance, that I know of, maybe what, two terrorist attacks? But it was everywhere. So now people was afraid to go to Kenya because somebody shot up the mall. But then when you look online, there was over 25,000 attacks in the U.S., but you only knew about maybe five or six. So we have to really rebrand. And then when you look at how the world perceives Africa, they're right. You know, you see zebras, lions, tigers, bears. Oh, my. You get to the point where you think Africa's just a big jungle. The images that they're showing of Africa is historical images. This is way before civilization. This is when they were still, you know, battling with spears, like times of Shaka Zulu. No, I'm serious. But then when you look at the U.S., they're showing Superman, Batman, you know? Where is our Superman? Where is our, like, Shaka Zulu should be a superhero today. Really? So we have to tell our own stories. I mean, even Jesus is white. And you believe it. But it's okay because how you were framed, if you taught something from the day you were born, and your mother taught you that, your father taught you that, it's real. You never look at your mom and your dad as liars. But their mother and father taught them the same thing because that's the kind of history that's put out for them to believe. Our history books in the U.S. is all white American history, culture that's been borrowed from other nations. But Africa has to teach the same history of our ancestors, the great things that they have accomplished. You know? And it's going to be the jobs of directors like yourself, filmmakers like yourself, to narrate that story. How do we want to be perceived? How do we want that story to be narrated to the rest of the world? This younger generation, we kind of figured it out. Because now, when you look at hip-hop in America, every rapper is rich. Gold chains, Bentleys, night girls, you know, night girls by the pool with bathing suits in his big mansion. And then when the video is over, they get on their phone and call an Uber. They don't even come in the Bentley that you just saw in the TV. But you go to Nigeria, we got Wizkid, Davido, P-Square, all these guys driving a Bentley, Mercedes. They actually own those cars. That's the difference. But if we don't translate that, they will never know. They think we're going to leave the shoot and go home on a horse or a zebra. Because that's what they know. This is why African Americans are so afraid of Africa. You mention Africa, they start shaking. There's so much fear. They don't know how to translate that. It was just recent that people are now saying, yeah, man, you know what? I rock with Africans, man. You know what I'm saying? I want to do some collaboration, man. Yo, man, I need an Afrobeat remix. You know what I'm saying? But before, they'd be like, man, I don't know that dude. I'm not putting him on my record. So the younger generation is slowly understanding how you have to rebrand the culture, because the culture has adapted. They've actually took everything that we've created and made it look better. They made a superstar look like a superstar. When I look on TV and I see our biggest entertainers, they don't look like stars. That's why you can't really respect the entertainer. If a politician saw a singer, he'd just be like, oh, he's just a local singer. But if he go to that local singer's performance, he may sell out the stadium because he has a huge influence, but the image is not there. So we have to take the image as a huge accountability for ourselves and realize that Africa really does have a reputation. But if we allow our stories to be told, our stories will be told according to their agenda on what they need to be able to benefit from Africa. So we have to tell our story so we can be able to understand how we can utilize that story to benefit for our agenda. You know? So in closing, this job is for the entertainers, the filmmakers, the reporters, and anyone that creates content. We have to rebrand. And we have to rebrand it in the way that we see it and tell the story to where they can understand it, feel comfortable, and want to come here and invest.
Right? To add to what Akon...
Okay. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Hey, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change.
man that is wonderful is Sam Cooke with a great song, Change Is Gonna Come. I am in a state of mind now that is affected by the view of the civilized human world. I know a lot of people don't want to hear anything about this. I think people don't want to hear anything about civilization, partly because they think they know what civilization is and would ask the question, what am I talking about? I have to admit that I didn't know what civilization was before I started to do some keen reading and get the sober and sane understanding, the knowledge about civilization, and that the way I view the human world was not the right picture at all of what the civilized human world is. I didn't know anything of importance about who are civilized people. And the problem I come to know is something that have me depressed at times, depressed. And depressed and bothered, you know, about what caused the problem in the world today. Homosexuals. History that I have read tells about the difference between the period of time we call BC or BCE. Do you know when the BCE era started? Do you? And do you know when the AD Anno Domini era started? Do you know the difference between the two? Now, it's good that I asked a question. In that form, by phrasing it the way I did, I have to be perplexed about the civilized knowledge that has been brought to Earth and the civilized knowledge has been brought to Earth long after Africa were producing humanoid. Honestly, when I come and sit down and begin to play presentation, for the show, I really feel bad. I feel bad about it. I think more than a lot of people do, because I think a lot about my early life as a child and growing up with Christian parents on the entire surrounding of the world that I was aware about was really confusion. To remember anything that I heard that was telling me in those times something that I would consider today to be civilized. I want to tell you something. One of the things that I were told by the preacher, leader of the church, where I went, and it worthwhile remembering so I can tell you about it. Do you remember anything that you consider, you know, memorable to in your early years of church? All right. Here is what is memorable to me. As I also remember that the gentleman, and I would refer to him as the gentleman who conducted like being playing the role of a pastor over the church. One of the things, well, it seemed like that's the only thing that stands out. But this guy was, he was a well-read man. And he surpasses many of the men in the church because the confusion of the church was featuring and teaching us the concept of about the Holy Ghost. And if you read Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, you get a good sense of how confused the church was. Because the church was not, is not, an institution or a civilized institution. It was not and still is not. The church is a homosexual institution. And when I say that, who do you think is going to understand me? Now, let me tell you about this pastor. The Holy Ghost is the primary energy that is represented in the church. Now, what do I know about the Holy Ghost back then? I understand that it is a spirit that, according to the Bible, that is sent by Jesus and his Father after Jesus came to earth and done the work that his Father sent him to do, like called 12 men, no woman, and they, and And he taught them, you know, because this was the establishment of the church. The crucifixion of Christ is to be his blood be shed. He gave his life for the sins of the world, the human world that fall into sin. All right? So that's the concept the church operates on. Now, is any of the things the church is teaching us about the Holy Ghost turn out to be true? I don't know nothing. I know it's abomination. The church should not be established anywhere at all in African territories. None whatsoever. Because it damages the cerebrum and the cerebellum networking of the brain, the mind of the civilized people. Not uncivilized people, but civilized people. Because what determines civility is the cerebrum and the cerebellum. It don't have anything to do with homosexuals. Homosexual culture. Right. So I'm telling you about this gentleman who the leader of the church and what distinguished him from the other church brothers in the church is this. He was more learned academically, okay? So intellectually, he was, as far as I recall, the most or the top of the people in that church branch. Now, the headquarters of the church in Jamaica at the time was represented by a man named R.C. Smith, and the building, the sanctuary that we have countrywide gathering and usually every April of the year. That's where they gather all the money that has been made in the branches of the island. So all of these congregation or congregants all around the country would come to that location, and where they carry on what they call now a convention, gathering up the money to give the white men who come down from America to get the money. And they take care of some other church business like ordain ministers and set whatever people in their different activities in the church. Now, on the part of ordaining ministers, and especially now, I direct you to the office of being the the representative who takes control of what goes on in the local church. Like they would say, this is the presiding minister over the general activities in the church, right? That office presiding over the church like you say, he's the pastor of the church. He runs the local. So they have that kind of officer in every one of the local churches. What I'm trying to tell you about this particular man who is very respected in this, in, you know, in our church. He's a man that is married. He has a nice wife, and at my time, some grown children, quite a few of them. Now, at the convention, like I said to you, they always ordain a minister for different offices in the church. This man, he was called a deacon. Even to being a deacon, he's not ordained, as far as I know. Because a deacon is an elected, an ordained office, right? And the pastor for the church is also an ordained minister. This gentleman was not ordained. But yet he plays the role of teaching and preaching and supervisory of the church. Now, what do you think, why the brothers in the church all right. Why do you think this deacon, pastor, is not ordained to do that job in the church, but he has been, for as long as I know, the only one who leads in that capacity as a pastor, yet he's only a deacon? It's like it's a temporary position that he has as a deacon, though he is not the ordained minister to do that. So why is it then that why he is not fit? He's not fit for that position because he's not ordained, right? But none of the men in the church not qualify as him. So what keep him from being ordained is that he's not filled with the Holy Ghost. Think about that. Think about that. It is the church custom to ordain that one in the church. brother, he's going to the convention where they ordain every year, and they don't ordain him because they cannot report that he is filled with the Holy Ghost. So all the filled people with the Holy Ghost are under him, under his teaching and guidance. And that he does better than anyone who is filled with the Holy Ghost in the church. All right. So come to what I remember I was told in the church. And I probably heard that information from the pastor I just told you about. I was probably 11 or 12, somewhere there, years of age. And I remember him saying that the Bible was published in İznik, Turkey. All right? And by Constantine, I think he told us by whom. And about the Nicene Council, he did. I remember very clearly that he tell us about the Nicene Council. And that's where the Bible was printed. Now, that piece of information to me was like gold. You know, oh, yeah, really. You know, like someplace far away where the Bible is put together, the Word of God. And I didn't know anything different about the Bible and how it was brought about. And it was after many years that I left Jamaica, 27 years of age. And, of course, back then, I didn't read higher than fourth grade level, so I didn't have the ability to know much of anything. However, I pursue adult education when I left Jamaica to America. I went to adult school and graduate. And about 10 years later, I went to a paralegal college and graduate from that college. A paralegal. So on or about, at some point of me being in America and begin to, you know, follow interests of things pertaining to the Bible, I now learn what the Nicene Council was all about. I mean, to me, it was sounding really, really nice to learn about the Nicene Council and where the Bible was all put together by the council. It's the greatest thing I've ever heard, you see what I mean? But now I come and I started to know something about the Nicene Council. Things have been said and stuff like that. And by hearing different accounts, different accounts of the Bible and Nicene Council and who the emperor Constantine the First, reading about Constantine, and realize that this is a whole bunch of uncivilized foolishness. And I continue reading and reading until I develop a well-balanced standing of what the Bible really is. And the linguistic, the words you're reading in the Bible, instead it plant my psychological feet deeper into the belief of the Bible. No, it did not. And the conclusion that I have come to is that, you know what? This ignorance is too heavy. And not just, well, heavy in the context that we cannot stand this whole bunch of ignorance and, what you call it, information that will not make your mind function sane and sober. The conclusion is none of us with the belief of Christianity worth anything that is considered civilized to begin with. Nobody at all believing in Genesis creation story, but God make heaven and earth in 6 days and rest on the seventh day. None of us is civilized in this, you know, as far as our cerebrum and cerebellum is concerned, the function, and without respect to how we were born and whether or not we are born hybrid or we are born sodomites. Sodomites mean, you know, hominid. Hominid, as far as I know today, is sodomites. You know, are otherwise called Europeans in our time, or Yamnaya culture. There's no civility in church, none whatsoever. And if I can say it with this liberty, and nobody will argue with me about it, then although I am one person saying it, and saying it in the way I do it. You know what I mean? I'm talking for people around the world listening to me, and I've never gotten a letter that opposed to what I say, and like, you know, give me question that would lead me to know what I'm saying is nonsense. I cannot get no one at all. And I, in a few years gone by, I did a lot of communication with church leaders, you know, all around the country in America. But I observe that the consensus, the common consensus of the church is the same. And then it takes on the two species of humanity. And whether you understand this or not, but I'm speaking from the World History textbook, which is the highest source, historic past, the history, world history, history of any kind, spell H-I-S-T-O-R-Y, right? But in this case, world history, like National Geographic, Prentice Hall, and other type of edition, that history is a real record of the past. When it talks about people, it describes them, because first of all, it tells you the first human beings are hominid. Tell you that very, very clearly. And completely, what happened to the hominid? The World History textbook tells that. And it tells when the Homo sapien came about, the next species. And these two species beget subgroups, like, you know, offsprings. Hominid has several offsprings, and so is Homo sapiens. The communication I have, which is widely, there is a consensus in the entire world that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Different denominations, church denominations, and I don't see anybody in the in the church, you know, who has position in the church who would speak against the Bible. Why is that? When the history that tells you about the past doesn't say anything about the Bible's creation story. Think about that. Beginning in Jamaica, I never heard anybody deny the biblical creation story. I'm saying all of this, you know, because of the ton of ignorance, the weight, the burden that I am feeling. If you want to call me, you know, I know someday somebody may feel the urge to call me and to talk to me. And particularly about the Bible creation story. I want somebody to call me and prove to me by whatever means you have the knowledge to do it, but prove to me linguistically that the Bible is a true word of God and that the creation is true. What I have found is the Bible is not true at all, in no kind of way. I mean, directly, since the Bible is an ontology, it has many, many authors, right? I don't mean to, like, knock everything in the Bible. I am knocking Genesis creation story, first of all. Some other time we can talk about the rest of the Bible, even Revelation. I will knock the beginning of the Bible and the end of the Bible. Genesis and Revelation is not a civilized report of the Bible, right? So like I say to you, I have what to say about the rest of the book in the Bible, but I am not taking them on in this session. But I'll say that there are some places in the book that seem to say something that is positive, yeah, but it doesn't pertain to the creation. So I am against the Genesis creation story, that it has absolutely nothing to do with civilization, nothing whatsoever. The use of the name Abraham is blasphemy. Because never should we have a Bible written, especially a creation story. And those whole bunch of nonsense in Revelation. You will be surprised to know what gives me the right to say. And you'd have to read, or if you get someone to explain, say better than I can explain it, then you can learn from that, you can identify from that. However, all better when you read and find out for yourself. If you keep on reading the Bible and you can't find out that it has a whole lot of lies and contradictions. It cannot be a creation in they're writing about. But nobody will argue that with me. One lady a while back, I think she passed away. She was the wife of a pastor. I used to attend the church. And the issue came up with problems I was having in some of the church when I visit them. So this lady, pastor's wife, say something about that to me, and I think I explained certain things to her, and she said it seemed like the devil is too strong in me and they can't cast the devil out. Well, I was never doing anything bad that I think about as bad, no. I'm well behaved. And I'm interested to understand the world and the people that live in the world. We have a world history textbook, and then I never go after a world history textbook to read it. I think history is good, but I wasn't impacted in a sense that, you know what, I need to get a world history textbook and read it. No, I didn't. Because the Bible, to me, was, you know, the word of God, right? Now, know that I tell you that I graduate high school and graduate paralegal school. My head is thinking, is, you know, I am making sense now. I'm making sense of things. Information is coming to me now that I'm understanding I never did before, right? Conclusion that I have to come to, reading words, that the Bible is not a word of God. It's not written by no inspired men. The prophecies are not true. If anything, as a prophecy is in there that you know to be true, well, I guess it may depend on what it is, because it's not impossible for a prophecy to be fulfilled. Anybody prophesy something and it turn out to be true. However, so that can occur in some part of the Bible. Some, you may see something written in there. We talk about the time will come when children will be having children and some other things. You know, I'm not saying that you could, those things cannot be happening in the Bible. But if something like that happened, it doesn't take God to send that to anybody's particular to understand that the time would come, because I think that has come, I would say, still in season, where you find young children are having, but I don't know if it didn't happen before, but this is what they say. The main prophecy that is in the Bible that shouldn't give anybody a hard time to prove that the prophecy fulfilled. The thing is, nobody I know is able to prove that Jesus was a real person. Nobody at all. And it is because there is nobody at all why we see there is a European man that represents Jesus, when the story of Bethlehem or Palestine, you know, there is the Bible is a legendary book. When it comes to talking about the when it talks about the creation with Adam and Eve, it's a legend. They're not writing real Adam and Eve. The Adam and Eve in the Bible is mockery, because the presentation of the creation of Adam and Eve by a spirit god is madness. It's coro nonsense. Because why should anybody with common sense assume Adam and Eve were real people. And the Bible that tells you that God take dirt out of the ground and make these two people, and yet still cannot tell you, deny, omit to tell you which piece of geography did God present as a spirit and make up these. Do you read that in the Bible? You find that in the Bible you read? No. Now, does that consist a detestation or a opposition to the Bible? The fact that it cannot tell you where Adam and Eve was created. Why is it that people now will not talk to me because I would tell them that Jesus Christ is a homosexual character? No, they don't want to. They will not identify with that. And people think that I am insulting their intelligence when I tell them that. But they won't argue with or say, well, just show it to me. You know, it doesn't need any negative argument. Just show it to me. But I will say the context of the story in the Bible, the legendary thing, it reads like a fictional story. You see, whereas the characters in the Bible, will tell you about places where the character has been. But if you go to those places where the fictional character in the book is, you will never find nobody like that ever live around the place, or anybody at all know them. Because it's a fiction, it's a legend. Right? So, the Bible has folklore and legendary story, like God make heaven and earth in 6 days and rest on the seventh day. And it is God and Jesus, you know, and they want you to assume that Jesus was here, but no, Jesus wasn't here, because the story of Jesus in the Testament comes along with the invasion of Caesar Augustus and the rest of Sodomite Europeans, who began from 509 BC, overthrow the king of Rome, and take the premises, take the military and the dress code, and go out and mimic the king until this day. Now, I read and I find out these things and realize that the Bible is full of legends. None of the principal characters in the Bible, none of them has any affirmative evidence that God of a spirit exists and do anything. Although they'll attribute a lot of things to God, but there's none that is presented in the Bible or in, well, let's say the Bible, because it's supposed to be presented in the Bible and no place else. That's God's word. If God's word is true, it must be true in the Bible and true everywhere else. So what I'm trying to say to you outrightly, that my earnest expectation is to find information in the issues I'm reading that confirm that the church is established on firm spiritual holy ground. But the church never existed as a real church. The church come and established by the Sodomites in the time they call the time of Christ. And I can take you into the Old and New Testament and prove that there is no Isaiah prophecy fulfilled about Jesus coming into the world to save sinners. I prove to you between the Old and the New Testament that it's not true. It never exists. Just never exists. Why the world is holding on to the Bible? No, it doesn't matter how depressed I am. Once I start talking about this, I don't feel depressed again because I feel I'm fighting for something. But when I just, you know, other things have my mind depressed, and, you know, the other energy is not there fighting. Once I get into the energy about whether or not the Christian Bible is authentic, or as Hugh J. Schoenfield wrote in the Passover plot, that Jesus of the Bible is a legend, because it talks about a story of things that occur in what they call Israel or Palestine. And back then, 2,000 years ago, there was no white people there named Jews or named Jesus. Right? And 2,000 years later, today, the man who they talked about are indicating the Bible, that they call Jesus today, was a black man, because they are invading hybrid African people place. Now, I don't know if you can see the sense in what I'm saying, but when something is void, it is not in present in real time, and somebody has it in a story. When it is obvious that clearly there was no white people living in that part of the land on earth. White people always, you know, they come from Europe, living there 1.5 million years now. Right? I mean, say minus, you know, going back 2,000 years. And there are a lot of things to make us know that a white man in the Bible being called Jesus and done all the miracles in Palestine or Israel, as they call it. The version of Jesus today is nothing more than, as UJ Schoenfield in the World in the Passover plot. He said there was no such a Jesus. There was no white European Jesus at all. But today, if you talk about all the well-educated African men who are ministers in Christianity, T.D. Jakes and T.D. Jakes and Chris Lodala and the rest of them. I have a brother that is a PhD preacher too. A priest, must turn priest too. And I have a cousin who is a man that is very honest and everything, but we all grew up in the church. They can't see the difference in these the representation that is crossing and two world colliding in the Bible. They can't see it. That no Jesus, first of all, they don't care that Jesus didn't want to die on the cross. You don't hear them talk about that. If anybody preach about that, they don't preach about it like something wrong with Jesus. They would say, well, then, well, you know, Jesus is like man, or he was under grief or something like that. You know, no, I mean, you can't look at Jesus for that. Jesus, what they're writing about in the Bible, is Father, they are spirit, they have this existence. So when Jesus to come here and to make himself a man, he was in the spirit world before he came here. He never had any mother there, you know, in heaven. All right? So now, when he came and make himself like mankind, you got to understand, he's not just man. You know, he's of the spirit world properly, right? According to the Bible. So what I'm saying to you is, when I'm reading and making sense now, right? I'm not reading on fourth grade level. I'm seeing what I have been believing all of my life. It's not what I am reading in the Bible today. So people were reading the Bible and interpreted it to me. Now I'm reading the Bible myself. Right? So like I say, I have legal knowledge as well. Right? I don't have to be a lawyer to have the proper understanding of words I'm reading at, say, level that I'm reading now above fourth grade level. Right? So when you're seeing these discord in the Bible, because nobody never tell you anything different, you are unable to make distinction and separate yourself from foolishness. And therefore you're going to say, well then, God is God and he knows everything. And you just spin around and headlong into the dirt. You're not going to go any further because you're convinced that God is one and there is none beside him. We don't have a good introduction to reading and take language afford us to know, because it is the language that opens up our inner core and let us deal with tangible things and intangible things. Because if we cannot understand the way tangible and intangible reasoning go, we won't get any further than the church, because the church is the only thing and the only institution on earth that lead the African people into uncivilized thinking, and will and you know, infect your brain with foolishness and convince you that the foolishness is intellectual and academic. That's what you hold on to, because you don't know anything else. Now, my question is, we don't have, you know, a million years to live, you know, I mean, far from that. If you notice, the world of people are living like they have maybe 2 million years left to live. You know, and the comfort that we get from tangible things like a car, money, a house, and land or something like that. The comfort we get in those things gives us an attitude like we have a long, long, long, long time to live here, and therefore no problem. We can live anyhow. At the rate that I read and understand the difference between yes and no, and realize that the times when it was the other way around, and decide, say, you know what? I'm not going to follow the masses. I'm going to follow the words them that I read. And I will say, if you are not in a position to follow words direction when you read, you're only eating and drinking now. Yeah. And when you get sick, you get sick. And if you survive the illness, you survive the illness. Well, you're soon dead still, but the thing is, the right way to deal with the life inside of us is to live logically. Follow words. Don't follow foolishness, what people are saying. As long as you are reading and you are finding conflict and contradiction in what you read, it's the only time that you will discover something is wrong. When you can read and discover contradiction in the Bible. So if the Bible one place tells you that Jesus is the Son of God, and he came to die for our sins, and he went back to heaven, then you read the prophecy of Isaiah that says Christ, the Messiah, would come. Didn't say Christ, but they interpreted to us like, you know, this Son of God that come to die for our sins. When you read and see no fulfillment of the prophecy, you don't make somebody tell you that it fulfilled. And how much things, how in specific was Isaiah in chapter 9, 6 and 7? How in specific that prophecy is, so that nobody in the world today, it appears, except maybe me and a few other people who don't even care if we talk about it. I care if we talk about it. I care to make it an make it a problem, because it is a problem. But why is it such an obvious thing the world refused? I would say, or just unable to see it. Why? Unable, you know, something like that. And you're still going on like a whole donkey, going to church and all of that, and praying to Jesus. You know, so I was thinking when I came on the show to think about the distinction between the Bible and the World History Textbook. Have you ever considered the difference between them? The church is not allowing us to consider the difference between them, because the church is satisfied and the church wants the believers to stay believers and don't have knowledge in what they believe. The church don't want us to believe in knowledge, or it would teach us knowledge first. But the fact that the church is not what we think it is, the church teach us to believe first. And none of the definitions, the verb believe, teaches us to believe first. If you look into the etymological and the dictionary, the definitions that is connected to believe, the action word, you either believe in your mind or physically, right? You do the act of believing in a notion, but not in a factual thing. Because if you're going to say, well, God exists, but how do you put God in a factual position so it justifies what you believe? Can you do that? You think you just say, well, who do you think is falling in the rain? No, there's a lot of explanation for that. You got to go through a process of reasoning, making identification of different things in order to come up and say, yes, it is the God that you believe in that fall the rain. Number one, you don't have a knowledge or identity of God, you know, but you are going to assume a lot of things and say, yes, it's the God that you believe in falling the rain. And you're far, far, far, from ever being right with that type of thinking. Because it all boils down to, you need to make identification of something in order to use the context of proper personal knowledge. Otherwise, you just can't. And you're going to cause a lot of problems, like causing today. The church don't care about the people who are believing to have knowledge. And when the church and the leader, the speaker, a Christian then, speak about belief, it is always taken above having knowledge, you see. And have you noticed in your church loyalty and understanding? Have you ever seen anybody in church uncomfortable over the fact that believing don't make you identify anything as a fact? How long since you've been a believer? Why is it taking so long for you to identify God and Adam and Eve in a garden? You can't identify that. That is a place for you to see God show that he was there as a spirit. If the Bible tell you the piece of geography where God was placing those two people, but you don't. You see what I mean? When you see things like talking serpents in the Bible, a deceiver woman and thing, and read the entire story about God and Adam and Eve in the garden, and you believe that. You believe that. And you're going to believe that till you're dead. So, now, what I have seen is that history gets no respect for carrying the information from antiquity, from prehistory time, come to where we are today, because we have AD and Adam and Eve to deal with. And you can find out, say, AD and Adam and Eve is sodomite manufacture, that idea. You can find out. Well, you know, I mean, there was a time when, I mean, I struggled to learn. I struggled to know. But I developed a sense of words and a sense of situation. So you don't need to feel coward or feel afraid to challenge any issue when you have the knowledge of words to convey what you are saying. Because you use words and reason to test what you are thinking. Now, what is it that bring us to separate ourselves from historic facts? What is it? Is the white people them? The white people them. And the white people them, the reason why they do it, just think about it. Think about it. If you know anything about white people and where white people originate, do you know anything? I bet you don't. I didn't either. And it take a long time before I found out. And I tell you what, nobody was about to tell me. But I found out. But I am a one little fellow who stick to words because I find out, you know what? Just like we had to go to school and learn to read, man. Once you get some of that reading, you learn how to use words. So if you get it that words tell you that you are to believe things before you know them, then how did you pass your exam? You know? How do you pass your exam? So, whatever you did to pass your exam means that there was a manipulation in the education that you got. And it's not that your education don't work for you. It's just that there are certain things that you should learn in your educational learning. And you did not. Because all you're reading about Adam and Eve in a garden that has absolutely no identification of the place on earth that the Bible, in context, explain. It is on earth. It took place on earth. God was on earth as a spirit doing it. And yet still, people are, what they say, wrote the Bible, you now know it's a bunch of lies. Because you don't have no sign of a God on earth. And I am being generous about this. Since I'm a believer in the Bible from I was a kid, and before I was able to read anything. And it come down to a time now when I am reading and question certain things. You know, it's not wrong to question things if you're linguistic. is what is causing you ask a question. I let alone the part that says God is a spirit. You know, I mean, all of my life, I never nothing ever come to me for me to question that God is a spirit. No, I didn't. It would take a long time before that became an issue. Why I would question it now, argue it now, because, I mean, back then, I couldn't say anything to anybody, you know. And so until today, it doesn't end my argument for us to argue the context of what you read in Genesis, talking about the creation of Adam and Eve. What does it say? Does it point to the fact that is on earth? The creation of Adam and Eve occurred? It does. It tells you plain that it is on earth. Well, I was reading and asking the question and, you know, until it's reading the words that actually say it is on earth that Adam and Eve was created. So once I realize that the Bible tells me that, I don't ask anybody any question, because the context is direct. It is on earth. It is telling about a garden on the east side, on the whatever side, and, you know, where cherubim was holding what you call it there, you know, holding swords or something like that in many turns in different ways. It is an earthly story. It's not supposed to be a legendary story. It's supposed to be true. It's supposed to be true. What could turn our world this way so that we have a world history textbook? History means a record of the past. You understand that? You can't walk over that. That's what history, any history is, whether near past time are far away. History in any application is a record of something. And it's not right in the moment. It is past time. So when you have a past time to deal with, you evaluate all of the circumstances. And if history is the only official book we have for record of past, of long ago, people who lived long ago, way back in Paleolithic, Neolithic, and now Bronze Age time, you don't ask anybody any question to interpret anything for you about Jesus or John the Baptist. If you have the context for the thing, you don't ask somebody the question, because they're going to tell you foolishness. If you are of the, well, you know, the right knowledge or the words you're using and the context in which you're using it, and it direct you and say, yes, I mean, the Bible says God was making these people on earth, but God is a spirit. Right? Right. So he's a spirit. That's all right. We don't look to see him, but we look to see what he creates on earth. Now, if you don't understand that, go get a nap of sleep and see if when you wake up, you still remember it, and see if you saw anything better, because you're probably tired and, you know, want your brain to get rest, you see. So But it is common sense for you to see that. That if a ghost came into your house, that ghost may alert you that he's there. Right? The ghost is a spirit. But the ghost has a way of making its presence known. So you see, tangible and intangible works together. And the people come ghosts when they die. You hear a lot of what ghosts have done when, you know, when people pass away. So the thing is, God is a spirit. And that would be like a ghost that we human beings are aware of. You may smell something. You can feel an energy spirit, like in the room where you are or something like that, or even outside. That is as close as we're going to come if you don't see the ghost. I think I've seen a ghost when I was, you know, younger, a boy, at a distance. Not too far a distance, though. But it was a image where I saw a shirt, you know, like what we call a khaki shirt. But there were some impairments, like, you know, from the ground up. I wasn't seeing anything. And from the neck up, I didn't see like a head or nothing like that. But there was nothing else around but bush, you know. What I'm saying to you is that this thing about the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve, this is a creation story. The Bible is saying, you know, and for people to accept that that's the way they were created. It's a serious stuff. Now, you notice that AD and Adam and Eve is the time of Christ. Right? You know that civility did not begin in the time of Christ. Civilization never starts in the time of Christ. Human civilization never starts in the time of Christ. So therefore, AD and Adam and Eve is not a time of civilization. As a matter of fact, it is the killer of civilization of the human race. And everything you read about civilization of humankind, it's taken from BC era, not AD and Adam and Eve. Everything you're reading in AD and Adam and Eve, it's about it is about intangible thought, intangible things, intangible object, and stuff like that. So how is it the church, with all of the trinkets, where you can't put anything together, and you start to read the Bible, God in the Garden of Eden and stuff like that, are pure foolishness. Pure foolishness. A talking serpent, God making Adam and Eve. One time he make the man first, the next time he make the two of them at the same time. These kind of stuff, you're reading. And, you know, like you don't see Jesus into the creation story. In Genesis creation story. The closest you're going to come is when they said, like, the serpent will bruise the heel, the seed of the woman, and something like that. And they will say it's an allusion to Jesus. An allusion to Jesus? a Jesus that never wanted to die for people's sin. And look, they make it official. The people who write the Bible make it official that Jesus Christ did not want to die after he and his perfect heavenly Father decide before they make the creation that Adam and Eve would have sinned. Nobody decided that they should sin, but the two culprits, the two sodomite culprits, where you really cannot find anything tangible or intangible to back up the story of Adam and Eve in a garden. But how difficult it is for people to see through that, that there was no spirit God around, like the Bible is saying, because that didn't stop identification of the geography, the land, where Adam and Eve was. And I want to tell you something, now it is known. It's not because they couldn't write in the Bible where Adam and Eve was created, you know. They could. But are these sodomite white people them write in the Bible? What do you think they were doing in Palestine? They were being criminals, running down the African people who left Africa since 100,000 years ago and come into the Western world. Yes. You see, they could tell where Adam and Eve is because they did not invent, these white people, they did not invent the story on their own. They read the history and then they invented the story of Adam and Eve. Right? They didn't write what history said. All right. So I'm saying now, it is depressing to me to see that I grow up in church, the place that don't tell you any truth about yourself. You have a Bible that is telling you about snake and telling you about all kind of something. Why? Why is that? Why is it so difficult for us to identify what makes sense from what don't make no sense? That the world history textbook, as blatant as it is, we are willing to follow these sodomite white people go to nowhere. And all the things that identify what's real and what to believe in, what's real. Because you need to know something to believe in it. Yeah, all the things that are placed in front of us and we are advised to see them because they bear witness. And such, I will say this, to show you the ridiculousness of the time we are living in with white people. Hardly any African people here today, we don't believe in a church. And it is hard to relate to them, to seek knowledge of anything that you're believing in. Don't start believe it first. Oh no, they cannot do that. Because belief is going to get them all sorts of things. That's what you read in the Bible. Believe, believe, believe, believe, believe, believe, believe, believe. And etymologically speaking, you must have knowledge first before you believe. Because look, think about what I'm going to say to you now. It's as good as a knockout punch. When you went to school, you went to school to get knowledge. Yes or no? Yes. It's just, you can't dodge that. You went to school to get knowledge. And as it, whether you would like to answer it the other way, but the circumstances will not allow you to have a good conscience and tell me that you need to learn believe first before you get knowledge. You would never say that. because it's not true to life. You go to school, and day by day, you learn something. It's not believe you believe something. It's that you learn something. Right? If you want to make that a belief thing, I don't think you can do that. You won't be able to do that. You pay attention to something, and you may go over it a few times, or you may just be okay just reading it once, and you are right. Right? You go somewhere and pass by, and you see a building or something like that. You didn't have anything to do with it. But some other time, you have a reason to go to that building that you saw. You know, what? Is that belief too? You see it. I mean, if your eye were blind, you couldn't see it, but you had good eyesight and you saw the building. And now you have a reason to go to that building. You just go directly there. What if you were blind and you passed by that place? You wouldn't see the building. And when you want to go to that place, in your blindness, and you know, you could ask somebody. But the thing is, you cannot go back to that place because you couldn't see when you passed it. These kind of stuff are common sense that we're supposed to have to decide what to do with your life. So we grew up in a church like I did, and now I'm reading the books that should tell me and confirm my experience growing up in the church. But no real book, real history, is not guiding me to the church, but rather turn me away from the church and the philosophy. So, you want to tell me we are living in this world and a lot of things have gone wrong since? And civilized way of thinking come in the world. See, these people, that's all them been, all these white people been doing, you know, is advance them sodomy. They write it in the Bible. It's not no African people write about Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible. A them sodomite homosexual white people write it. But as usual, everything, they like to saddle African people with those things that disfavor us and favor them. You see what I mean? Why it is good for us to learn to read. When these people began to work, you know, like psychological deception on the African people, we were not around. We were not around. The only thing that's going to help us now is when it comes to time that we learn to read, because remember, they never want us to read, you know. No, under slavery, they don't make us read. We're lucky that now we can read, but guess what? Them brainwashing still inside of our head. You know what I mean? So now, world history textbook don't mean nothing to the Christian believer. And to convince you that Christianity is a hoax, is something designed to set back the African people, you're not going to use knowledge to decipher that, let me say. Because you believe in the church. That's why when you go to school, they never teach you how to believe anything. They teach you to know something. When you realize that, you will overcome these white people them. And it's the reason why they have all our money. And you can't even get some, the way you should have it. Because they are limiting what they give you. It is because our ancestors went in their way, interbreed them. It's the interbreeding that is causing the problem on the land. Interbreeding. And they have been hiding the interbreeding that happened between them and our species, of two human species, hominid and their offspring, hominid Homo erectus. The Homo erectus interbreed our species, our Homo sapien species. They interbreed the first offspring of the Homo sapien, the Neanderthals. And these white homosexual people look in our faces and omit to accept that Neanderthals come from Homo sapiens. Now, what you make of that? When they are willing to say they interbreed, they crossbreed with the Neanderthals, but they will not say they interbreed with the Homo sapien, which is the only species survive time until now. It is us. But they don't want to tell you that, and they did not get to speak when they interbreed with the Neanderthals. They didn't speak after that because what? They didn't have the blood to make them talk when they interbreed with them. But when they later on, most after some 40,000 years, we were right in the way migrating out of Africa into the Western world. That was when these white people catch some of our ancestors and interbreed up with them, and that interbreeding make them talk. Because those crossbreed babies now have the blood of the gods that was used to make Homo sapien hybrid. That blood, once they interbreed with us, they gonna talk. That's a fact. That just speaking loudly of the truth. We African people who over the past 200,000 years, when we were brought forth by fertilization in vitro in glass tube and created civilization on the land, these white people over the past 100,000 years interbreed up a nation unto themselves, talking sodomites, and they want to make the entire world sodomite. You don't know what the truth is? That is the truth. Now, when I tell you where civilization start 450,000 years ago, I read this all the time, and I cannot refrain from reading it because this is the truth, and you don't have to know the truth if you don't want it. But you know what? When I see the truth, I happen to identify it, you know, because words is just that type of energy that if you're the fool, the word's going to take you somewhere. You hear me tell you? All right. And it's the favorite author, the million copy best-selling author, Zachariah Sitchin, author of The Cosmic Code. This is a guy who I have found to write many of the important things about the African hybrid people. Writing from tablets. Writing from tablets written by scribes of the past, the gods. And today, we have colors, whether or not they are white people or African people. But today we have the information that tells us how we came about. Africa is the land where all life forms seem to come from. And we also come from the Abzu in South Africa. Now, if you not reading well enough to understand these stuff, you're not forced to educate yourself. History is not just for historian people. It is for us who read. We make use of the information. But what use you reading history and you're not studying words well enough to understand what history is saying? They came to Earth thousands of years ago, ushered in mankind's first new age of scientific growth and spiritual enlightenment. Under the guidance of these ancient visitors from the heavens, human civilization flourished as revolutionary advances in art, science, and thought swept through the inhabited world. And they left behind magnificent monuments, baffling monoliths, and awesome towering structures that stand to this day as testaments to their greatness. In this extraordinarily documented, meticulously researched work, Zachariah Sitchin draws remarkable correlations between the events that shape our civilization in millennia past, pinpointing with astonishing accuracy the tumultuous beginning of time as we know it, and revealing to us the indisputable signature of extraterrestrial gods indelibly written in stone. My friends, everything we need to affirm our reality of life is right in front of our eyes. And you're going all over the world and seeing things and stuff like that. And for us to go to church, to go to Catholic Church, and hold up the institution like it's something nice and wonderful, it's unfortunate. But I tell you what, I'm ready to die anytime. And whatever is going to be my experience when I'm dead, I'll get it. I will get it. But right now, it makes no sense. It's better I'm dead, not suffer, unbearable grief and stuff like that. But at the rate of ignorance in the world, that people are taking it like that's the way life should be, I am flabbergasted. It's too much ignorance. And most of all, African people that are talking like they know what they're saying, and they have no clue whatsoever of prehistory before this Christ time come, where they know they're all in Christ and in the church. I mean, I was in the church too. And now, Church people don't bother wanting to talk to me. And too many of the African people are, their brain is so worn out. They cannot simplify and make distinction of certain kind of things to, let's say, liberate them. No, they rather be under the sodomite white people them, who they cannot tell no truth at all. And if they were going to say anything, they are saying things that don't do anything to these vicious, uncivilized white sodomite people them. Because it is clear, instead of thinking like, oh, homosexual people were created by the God in the Bible. You know, why can't you read and know that, I mean, the Bible is not talking about you. It's these sodomite people. You see, and you see what they do everywhere we go. They come, they learn from us. Our system of law came here with the gods and give it to us to rule. And say, Africa, our people in Africa, they don't care about us. Them start, must in 1998. To become democracy. Imagine that. Imagine African people turn democracy. And who invent democracy? And who invent the law of the land long before these guys invent democracy about 2,600 years ago? Long before that, what government was running the world? They say since we were created as hybrid 200,000 years ago, who brought civilization and who create us and give us civilized life? By which, if we were not created hybrid, they couldn't come fuck up the Neanderthal Homo sapien and fuck up Homo sapien, to which they are talking, you know, let's say over the past 100,000 years. And if you look and see how long they live up in Europe and stuff like that, you cannot find a trace of anything to show that they were civilized all along and was talking. You can't find none. And they themselves too can show you things that they start to do in the Western world. But the Western world is not Europe. It's not Europe. You see what I mean? And the thing that they are writing and turning into government, it's not for us. And you mean we can't even say that? We don't know that? When I read the things that are pertaining to us, my friends, read the story about the Adam, a slave made to order. These people talk about Adam and Eve in a Bible that they read from history. This very history that I'm having here, that an author wrote and lay out exactly what the truth says from the tablet, the pre-history tablet, okay, before the flood. You see? We were created before the flood. When you read the history now, you don't want to hear history because you believe Jesus saved you and blah, blah, blah. Does Jesus heal you when you're sick? Jesus is not a real character. These white people make it up and they don't want to let, they want African people to know what they were doing in Palestine. They don't want you to know because they're sodomites. You see? And what they are, if whether or not you know, the Bible that they wrote is full of a quote, a whole heap of quote. John the Baptist and Jesus never exist. So when, you know, U.J. Schoenfield, he says, when we believe in Jesus and John the Baptist also, we pass the world of Soba to the world of fairy tale. That's the way the Passover plot author by speaking on history. That's what he says. So we are here believing about John the Baptist in the wilderness and John the Baptist baptized Jesus and all. Listen, my friend. It is as dark as midnight. Those things are not true. And you're going to hold on to belief that you don't need to exercise in something where you don't know. Period. Go back and think, my friends. Because there is the great knowledge and understanding that we are entitled to. And by the power of believing what we don't know, we will not enjoy that knowledge. But I tell you what, I don't have anything else to enjoy but this. And I can tell you, I felt bad before I come and start talking here because I'm looking at the big mound of uncivilized foolishness on one side and looking on civilization on the other side. And to see that so many people feel better to go to church, not redeeming the time. What is BC era? What is AD Anno Domini era? They don't know, but they believe Jesus died on the cross for their sin. No, we were made by the blood of the Elohim themselves, not Jesus Christ. It's the blood of the Elohim that make us hybrid people. And ethnic people. That's the way it is. Right? So it really, like, it bothers me. It bothers me. You see? And you would never find someone to come and say, I got to go over here and talk to this guy. No, it's like, what? I'm speaking in another language. They don't know the language I'm speaking in. All right. I want to thank you for tuning into the program, man. And let me give you a little of this melody. And a little melody here. Okay, Stardust. Let's hear Stardust, Nat King Cole.
And now the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart. You wander down the lane and far away, leaving me a song that will not die. Love is now the stardust of yesterday, the music of the years gone by. Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you when our love was new. And each kiss an inspiration, but that was long ago. Now my consolation is in the stardust of a song. beside a garden wall. When stars are bright, you are in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tale, a paradise where roses bloom. Though I dream in vain, in my heart it will remain, my stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.
Okay, I want to thank you for tuning into the program today, and let me get on, we have about 45 minutes to go. I have to give a, you know, that little preamble, because I feel very burdened about, you know, this planet become so full of people, and what really has happened is the hominid that have been around for like almost 4 million years, and all the turnout to now, you know, they remain hominid for millions of years until the second species came about in the human development. So the human development, according to the World History Textbook, gives us one human species that was uncivilized, ape-like human being walking upright. That's what it says. And it is when the Homo sapien came in, that species, subgroup, that was when things went in a different direction, because the Homo sapien species is the third human development. Not species, but development. It is two species, the hominids and now the Homo sapien. The hominid has a few subgroups, and one of them is the Homo erectus hominin, and it is the Homo erectus that, I mean, destroy the prospect of the civilization of mankind. It's not them. They are the second development, and Homo sapien is the third, and the Homo sapien two subgroups, Neanderthals and Homo sapiens sapiens, which is the hybrid side of Homo sapiens that becomes the perfect human beings that alive until this day, over the past 200,000 years. Past 200,000 years. 100,000 years ago, some of us migrate to the Western world out of Africa. That's what the academic certified story tells us. Okay? So where we are today, it's the people who are uncivilized, ape-like origin, come and interbreed with civilized Homo sapiens sapiens. After they interbreed with the Neanderthals, they couldn't talk. But once they pick up the blood that created us and make us hybrid, they start to talk. And they are the ones that are taking over the world right now and have no conscience with what they do. They don't care. They want the world to be theirs. And it's the reason why they push 10 people aside, write a Bible, do whatever they want, because Africa is over there, don't care nothing about its own people. Something gone wrong. Something gone wrong. And everybody know what they share of this sodomite world. The African people themselves. Now, you don't expect me to say anything else. Can't say anything else until I get something else to say. I'm telling you what I know really hurts me. And it hurts me because of what I realize. It's not just a feeling. It's what I come to know. All right. It bothers me when ignorance is prevailing at such a level. You see what I mean? And we're the consciousness of civilization cannot hold on, because these sodomites are looking at on us and now establishing it as a cavity to have sex in there. Yeah. And African people are going about and, you know, and whatever, and fail to realize who they are. If the gods can ever get some praise and thanks, it's not from African people. But you know what? I don't have no one else to thank but the gods and the goddesses who come to earth here and do all kind of manner of great things. I just read it to you. And you are out there who want to be the person you want to be. Well, you know, only the power of the words can penetrate you and help you. So it doesn't matter how I feel. I have to know that time will rotate and I'll always feel better. All right. So I want to just tell you something now about the kingship government that is right here on earth, that these white people have taken over, and African people, there's hardly any African people, those who maybe keep quiet and I've not educate themselves to the point where they can begin to make the energy flow. You see, I read and I have found out, and I cannot do any better than what I'm doing right now, except whatever better to improve what I do. Well, I'm open, you know, more and more, because it's the reason why I'm here and I'm able to, say things that comes to my mind, right? I just want to be able to say something that people understand what I'm saying. I don't seem to have a better ambition than that, because I don't want to be I'm coming from Harvard or some of these other, you know, big universities or something like that. That's not my objective. My objective is to talk and people understand what I'm saying, so that if you don't get out of the way and the car come and knock you down, then it's your fault. Basically, that's what I'm saying. There's no way to fit me into the system that we have here. These folks are all in our wealth and going on with all their fucking batty. And we are here unable to do anything. But, you know, I'm doing something. And I think when the time comes, the gods will do what they want to do. I don't see them leaving us here with these sodomites until eternity. I don't see that. So I want to read some of this to you. kingship expels A.D. Anadamani, Yamnaya, Proto-Indo-European sodomy. Kingship expels this A.D. so-called law that these Europeans, Yamnaya culture, they call them Proto-Indo-European sodomites. Sodomy. All right, let me go on a little more. The Edict of Elohim, hybrid kingship government, civilized king law code, is sovereign. Right? The Edict of the Elohim hybrid kingship government, civilized kingship law code, is sovereign. You cannot do anything beyond that. All this AD and a dominant that they have and a thing like that. Watch and see. I'm not going on that side, I'm telling you. And what I say, that's all there is for me to say. And I will forever say it, and the time is done. All right, let's go on. Violation by uncivilized European Caucasoid. The violation by uncivilized European Caucasoid. They are thief. They are therefore ordered out all African territories immediately. That's the word to them. They must get out. And I am proud to say that because they have no jurisdiction here. Anywhere we set foot, it belongs to the Elohim. Europe has never been molested by neither the gods nor us. These sodomite, batty-fucking white people taking our system and make it theirs like they are civilized and we are not. And that mockery must go return to them. And I think it is right behind their ears, okay? Because they feel like they are all right. I know that they are not all right. They are not all right. So here we go. Writing offered new methods for maintaining law and order as well. Did the white people them have law and order up in Europe there? Ask them or, you know, query. The first legal codes of written collections of laws were the Code of Hur-Nammu from Sumer, written around 2100 to 2050 BCE. And the Code of Hammurabi from Babylon. This is history, my friend. And whether or not you want to take it serious, it's up to you. If you don't want to learn about it and know, it's up to you. Go to church. And, you know, there's nothing else to do about that. You know? Yes, Hammurabi from Babylon, written around 1760 BCE. The benefit of written laws was that they created consistency in the legal system. The kingship government, king law code, only apply to Elohim, God's civilized people. And their organized hybrid human orderly society. That's who it belongs to, you know. It's not them. They are not in any history book as being civilized. But now they come and say they have federal law and law that, you know, I mean, rule the world. And it's not true. It's not true. It's just not true. How they get to lead African people into uncivilized law that batty fucking white people make? A.D. Anadamani. And talk about that Jesus Christ. You mean African people can't see that there was no Jesus Christ? You mean they can't see that? Too bad, man. Yes. The King's Law Code is not for European uncivilized Caucasoids. They must evacuate African hybrid people jurisdiction instantly, right? There is no more time for them to stay here, all right? So let them perish, because I don't see anything else that they worthwhile earning but being perished. You see? Perishing. The first civilizations appeared in major river valleys, where flood plains contained rich soil and the rivers provided irrigation for crops and the means of transportation. Foundational civilizations developed urbanization, right? Foundational civilization developed urbanization, complexity without outside influence and without building on a pre-existing civilization. Though they did not all develop simultaneously. Many later civilizations either borrow elements of built on or incorporated through conquest. Other civilizations without through conquest, other civilizations. Foundational civilizations arose independently. They are particularly useful to historians and archaeologists who want to understand how civilization first developed. And my friends, you know, that is what I want to bring to you. And what else am I to do? But I think I have said a lot to you. And I think I have a little more time here where I can read something to you that is realism. It's history for civilized people. I'm going to read some of it to you. Let's see what you can get from it. The Adam, a slave made to order. And this is from the same book. It's a book, Genesis Revisited. And this is from the same author, Zachariah Sitton. Okay, so the Adam, a slave made to order. So now you see, we are talking about the Bible that talk about Adam and Eve. And what we are telling you, this history written by Zachariah Sitton from its prehistory is the Sumerian history from the tablets. That's where this is coming from. It's not coming from nothing called white people, European nothing. Okay? Now, what they do is write the Bible and turn us into idiots. They also write a second book of Enoch and did the same striking fucking ass stuff on our material. You understand that? So when they're in Palestine and destroying our people and we have a Bible today and a praise Jesus and all that kind of thing, we don't understand these faggot white people. Eh? We don't understand them. And the church that they make up that never existed in the BC era. What's wrong with African people, man? What's wrong with us? Okay. This is the history that holds up to any test. Okay? That I'm going to read some of it here. The biblical tale of man's creation is, of course, the crux of the debate, at times bitter, between creationists and evolutionists, and of the ongoing confrontation between them, at times in courts, always on school boards. As previously stated, both sides I'd better read the Bible again and in its Hebrew original. The conflict would evaporate once evolutionists recognize what it would evaporate. The conflict would evaporate once evolutionists recognized the scientific basis of Genesis and creationists realized what its text really says, meaning the Bible. They don't understand what they're reading, or they don't want to understand. All right, we're going to here. Apart from the naive assertion by some that in the account of creation, the days of the book of Genesis are literally 24-hour period and not eras, phases. The sequence in the Bible is as previous chapters should have made clear. A description of evolution that is in accordance with modern science. So it is talking about, he says, what the sequence that is given in the Bible is as previous chapters should have made clear, a description of evolution. That's what you're reading in the Bible. And it is not evolution, creation of the hybrid people that the Elohim created. All right? So it says it's evolution that is in accord with modern science. And modern science don't mean civilized science. So the writer here, the author, is being modest. He's being, you know, sensitive when he says it is evolution. He doesn't want to, like, insult them. So he says, it is the description of evolution that is in accordance with modern science. And you don't want modern science because these sodomites here taking over the world and say they're scientists and there's no gods, no business with nothing here. That's what it really is, my friend. You got to understand that. The insurmountable problem arises when creationists insist that we mankind, Homo sapiens, were created instantaneously and without evolutionary predecessors by God. Right? They are saying that we mankind, Homo sapiens, were created instantaneously and without evolutionary predecessors by God. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. Okay, so they are saying there that the insurmountable problem arises. Asianists insist that we mankind, Homo sapiens, were created instantaneously and without evolutionary predecessors by God. That is what modern science is saying, right? That's not what history says. So show you that they decide to destroy the world by using false historic account, right? We have the real historic account. We don't need to read no Bible because the Bible is not a history book at all and nobody don't certify it. You don't feel ashamed that you are believing in a Bible, saying all these old bunch of foolishness, that you have an author who is writing from the direct tablet and, you know, telling what the history actually says, and that the Bible is not telling the truth. And yet still these sodomites, with all kind of interbreeding madness that they have and doing things, and batty fucking are reading that Bible and go to church and believe that it is the right thing. Something is definitely just wrong, man. It's just wrong. All right. So this is what, I mean, the creationists, we don't need, there is no need for creationists. Okay? There is no need. Yes, there is no need for science, modern science, because we have the history that tells us straight. Okay? The insurmountable problem arises when creationists insist. You see, and creationists is just a fallacy. You see, these guys don't know what they're talking about. And he says, they insist that we, mankind, Homo sapiens sapiens. They don't want to deal with Homo sapiens sapiens. You see, these modern, so-called science and these sodomite science, scientists, them, modern science, they don't want to deal with the truth of the Homo sapien subgroup that uses Homo sapien blood to mix with the gods, Elohim blood. They want to deny that we people have the blood of the gods. That's why. So they are saying in the Bible that we humans, and they're not just saying we Homo sapiens sapiens either, because they're now including themselves to take the place that we are only humans. You see, they're not. Although they admit to Homo sapiens, sapien humans, but they are creating a lot of confusion by denying what history says, you see? So we were created instantaneously and without evolutionary predecessors. By God, you see, by the Bible God, fucking batty white people God, okay? That's what they are, say creators, and history don't say that. No, they read history and know the truth, and they are writing all of these stuff, right? Now, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now, where did God do that on earth? You know, that's what I've been talking about before. You can't find no place on earth that happened. And yet still, that everybody craving a belief, because believe easy. And I guess to get knowledge is difficult. To learn knowledge, like when you go to school, it costs you have to be conscious and keen and everything like that to learn. Right? Well, no, it's easier when you just believe something and just live on and carry on with it, right? But that's not the way it works. It's a knowledge thing. That's why I said the church don't teach us to have knowledge. It teaches us to believe foolishness. Okay? So it goes on to say, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's what these sodomites are saying, because they don't want to write the truth that is in history. This is the tale of man's creation, as told in chapter 2. Watch this. Chapter 2, verse 7. Of the book of Genesis, according to the King James English Version. And this is what the creationist zealot firmly believe. So them claim, were they to learn the Hebrew text, which is, after all, the original, they would discover that, first of all, the creative act is attributed to certain Elohim, plural term. Elohim is a plural term. That at the least should be translated as gods. The Elohim should translate gods, not capital G-O-D, but common G-O-D-S. And second, they would become aware that the quoted verse also explains why the Adam was created. For there was no Adam to till the ground. These are two important and unsettling hints to who had created man and why. Then, of course, there exists the other problem, another and prior version of the creation of man. In Genesis 1:26, first, according to the King James Version, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Then the suggestion was carried out, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and created he them. The biblical account is further complicated by the ensuing tale in chapter 2. The man was alone until God provided him with a female counterpart, created of Adam's rib. See all those things the Bible is saying? And it's not telling what is written, because they want to control the world and get rid of the hybrid people. That's why. While creationists might be hard put to decide which particular version is the sine qua non tenet. There exists the problem. See? While creationists might be hard put to decide which particular version is the sine qua the sine qua non tenet. There exists the problem pluralism, right? There is a problem of pluralism that these Bible faggot homosexual writing, they're not applying, you see? But they might go ahead and write wherever they want to write, right? All right, the day will come. The day has come. Yes, the suggestion for man's creation comes from the plural entity who addresses the plural audience, saying, "Let us make an Adam in our image and after our likeness." What went on was the editing and summarizing of the compilers of the book of Genesis. See? So this author is saying they did not write what is in history. They use the story to write what they want, because they intend to dash the African people into darkness. Okay? So they don't write the history. They could write exactly what the history said, but they're not interested in that. Hence, I tell you about the interbreeding, and you talk about conspiracy. All white people are in the conspiracy, except for maybe a few who don't know about it. But they all conspire with what they are writing in the Bible, right? Especially their leaders. So a lot of white people still need to understand the truth. However, they are not in the African people's shoes. We are the one who is supposed to know what is history and not Bible, and that's our problem. Now, it goes on to say that, yes, he's telling you now that the people who, the Bible, the orientation, what? The orient, the oriente, orientalists. The orientalists, as both the orientalists and Bible scholars, all of them are sodomites. As they now know, what went on was the editing and summarizing by the compilers, them who were compiling the details. The compilers of the book of Genesis, of much earlier and considerably more detailed texts, which means they are extracting stuff and leave the truth in there, right? This is the crux of the whole matter, right, that we're having here today, man. Why the world is in the shape it's in. You see, had these guys just write the truth, the world would be going along. But no, they don't want the world like that. They want to be able to kill other people and establish their sodomite way of life, man. No God ever make them any given day. And what the Bible is writing about is not about them. It's not about white people. You see? And that is what African people are missing. They are missing. And, you know, put it with the fact that they went and allowed these guys to fuck them and interbreed with them and make it worse. So we don't have any connection with our gods now. Well, I hope I do. You know, I hope that I do. Because what I'm reading, I don't see anything to compare to what I'm reading, you know. Because the Bible is definitely a faggot book. That's what I see. So it goes on that they know that they edit, you know, the detailed text first written down in summer. Those texts reviewed and extensively quoted all in the 12th planet with all with all sources listed, relegate Asian of man to the Anunnaki, mean we were created by the gods. It happened, we learned, from such long texts as Atra-Assis, when the rank and file astronauts who had come to Earth for its gold mutinied. The backbreaking work in the gold mines in Southeast Africa. They mutinied. They strike. Had become unbearable. right? The work there became unbearable. They couldn't stand it anymore. So he says, Enlil, their commander in chief, summoned the ruler of Nibiru, his father Anu, to an assembly of the great Anunnaki, and demanded harsh punishment of his rebellious crew. But Anu was more understanding. What are we accusing them of? He asked as he heard the complaint of the mutineers. Their work, the reply, their work was heavy, their distress was much. Was there another way to obtain the gold? He wondered out loud. So the king is very sympathetic to these workers and who didn't want to work anymore. Yes, said his other son, Enki, Enlil's brother and rival. The brilliant chief scientist of the Anunnaki. It is possible to relieve the Anunnaki of the unbearable toil by having someone else take over the difficult work. Let a primitive worker be created. The idea appealed to the assembled Anunnaki. The more they discuss it, the more clear their clamor grew for such a primitive worker. An Adamu to take over the workload. But they wondered out. They wondered, how can you create a being intelligent enough to use tools and to follow orders? How was the creation or bringing forth of a primitive worker to be achieved? Was it indeed a feasible undertaking? The Sumerian text was immemorialized. The answer given by Enki to the incredulous assembled Anunnaki, who saw in the creation of an Adamu that solution to their unbearable toil. The creature whose name you uttered, it exists! Exclamation. All you have to do, he added, is to bind upon it the image of the gods. And my friend, I hope you have digested something from what I have said. The whole thing is for us to discern that we civilized people who are of this hybrid creation. First of all, if you don't know you're an hybrid, you're totally out of the sphere of civilized thinking. To first realize, what the issue says. No revelation or no vision or nothing like that is not going to teach you what the history is designed to do. You see what I mean? And it is not, things are never going to go well, because right now all black people all over the world are under the jurisdiction of A.D. Anadamani, which is nothing but a body fucking type of a revelation. They have to make up something like that and go against the long-held God's laws over the civilized world. These white people push Africa aside, and Africa don't care about the civilization of the world. They're making up all these false concepts of government that don't list in the World History textbook or in any of the history concerning our creation. If you don't want it, well, you will perish without it, because there's nothing else on this planet to inform us. And your church thing, church don't exist as no reality. And the time is over now for me to go. And hope that you are blessed. And I feel a lot better than when I came in. And you, it's up to you to seek out for your own inner liberty. And what is going to justify you is not a Bible. Because as I am reading there, you can see they're lying in the Bible. They're lying. There's no prophecy. That's why no Isaiah prophecy cannot be fulfilled. And they're going to tell you that, yes, it fulfilled. That's what these fucking ass, white people do. They tell you a lie, and they find out that you believe in them. They keep on telling you the lie. You know what I mean? You have to read and know the difference. So you take good care of yourself. Take good care of yourself, and I guess next time we can get into some more. So, blessings.